Right, we're going to go ahead and start our class number 6 of Hearing the Voice of God. And we just want to talk about a few final considerations tonight. We're going to have a very short period of teaching tonight because we have a lot of activations planned and we want to leave plenty of time for the activations. So we'll probably just go through a few things here for maybe 10, maybe 15 minutes, that's all. And then we'll go on to the activations. Some of this is going to be just a little bit of review, going over some old ground, but I felt like we needed to hit a few things just a little bit more thoroughly and cover some areas where there have maybe been misconceptions and misunderstandings in the past about personal prophecy. So we want to talk just a little bit more about personal prophecy and emphasize the fact that personal prophecies are always partial and conditional. Now, a good illustration of the incomplete nature of prophecy are the messianic prophecies that we find in the scripture. Now, we know there was over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament about the coming of the Messiah and about Jesus. But each one provides only one small piece of the puzzle. No one prophecy covers all the different aspects of Jesus' life. But when you put all the different ones together, all 300 and some odd, then it gives a beautiful picture of the life of Jesus. But each prophecy was just one small little piece which may not even have made sense in itself. And so that's a good illustration of the incomplete nature of prophecy. The messianic ones, they were partial and they were conditional on human response to God. And that brings us to our second point that we want to make about personal prophecies, that they are conditional on human response to God. He won't violate human will. Also, any words that God brings to an individual can be canceled, altered, reversed, or diminished by God because He is sovereign. He can do what He wants. He is God. And we can find numerous examples of this in the scripture. And I want to challenge you to search the scriptures and find some of these examples. And here's just a hint. Check the lives of Abraham, Moses, Saul, David, Jonah, just to name a few. And see if you can find where some of the words that were spoken to these individuals were altered, reversed, or diminished in some way. All right. Now, there are some misconceptions regarding giving prophetic words and receiving prophetic words. And these misconceptions often fall into two extremes. And I want to just mention these tonight because there have been some things sort of floating around in the body of Christ about prophetic words, which I think just cause a lot of confusion. And if you've been laboring under some of this confusion, I'd like to take an opportunity to clear some of it up tonight. All right, now the two extremes are this. One is that the word of the Lord must be difficult, corrective, or harsh. And if it is nice or encouraging, it's not from God. Some of you may have never have come across this, but I just read it in an article in a very well-known Christian magazine last week. There was an article by someone who is actually a very well-known teacher in the body of Christ that has recently come out with some material on the prophetic, which is a new area for them. And basically what this article said is that the word of the Lord must be difficult, corrective, harsh, or it's not God. And I think that's definitely one extreme that misses the heart of God and misses the balance that God would have for his people in the prophetic. Now, the second extreme that we find is that the word of the Lord must always be edifying, encouraging, or comforting. And if it happens to be corrective or hard to receive, hard for us to receive, then it's not from God. And, of course, this is the exact other extreme and is equally imbalanced. Now, the balance in this is that in some situations, God needs to bring a corrective word. He needs to bring a word that might be hard for us to receive. All right? In some cases, God is trying to get our attention because we haven't been listening. And you'll find all through the Old Testament, you'll find in the New Testament, that God spoke and Jesus said things to people that were a little bit hard, perhaps, to take. But at the same time, we also find God's heart of compassion and God's mercy poured out through the words that he gave people. And we find many times God bringing a word of comfort, bringing a word of encouragement, bringing a word of mercy and grace into a situation. And so really, you know, the balance is that we just need to hear from God, and we need to have our hearts and our spirits tuned to him, and we need to be broken vessels who through whom he can speak and manifest his spirit. And if we are those broken vessels, then we'll give the word that the Lord gives us, and we'll give it in the spirit of the Lord. We'll give it in, we'll be led by the Holy Spirit in not only what words we speak, but in how we give those words as well. All right, now, part two here in your notes, we just want to say a little bit more on false prophets, just to make sure that there's no lingering misconceptions, because there's so many in the body of Christ regarding false prophets. Now, the first one, A in your notes, accuracy is not the key scriptural factor which determines a true or a false prophet. All human beings are fallible. And I've got a few examples from Scripture here of true prophets who prophesied inaccurately or whose word did not come to pass. The first one is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 3 through 17. Now, in this one, Nathan, whom, you know, if we're familiar with the book of 2 Samuel, we'll know that Nathan was regarded as a true prophet. And we have a situation here where David says something to Nathan, the prophet, who says back to him, "Go and do all that's in your heart, for the Lord is with you." Now, this had to do with building a house for the Lord. Well, that night we find the Lord begins to speak to Nathan and tells him, well, that's not exactly my heart there. And he gives him a word for David, which basically says, it's not you who's going to build the house, it's your son. And so we find that the initial word that Nathan spoke to King David was not actually accurate. And however, Nathan was not labeled as a false prophet because of one inaccurate word. Another one is 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 15. Another one is Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. Now, in Jonah chapter 3, it says, you have to go back a little bit to chapter 2 and find that the word that the Lord had spoken to Jonah to give Nineveh was, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. But because God in his mercy saw their repentance, he changed his mind. And in verse 10 in chapter 3, it says, then the Lord saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and he relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them. Now, who did he say he would bring? Who did he speak through when he said he would bring it upon them? He spoke through Jonah, didn't he? So, in this case, Jonah was in the position of giving what was in actuality an accurate prophetic word. God told him to say this to Nineveh, to the people of Nineveh, and he said exactly what God told him to say. But because God relented from what he had said he would do, and then it goes on to say, and he did not do it, then Jonah was left in the position of looking like he had given an inaccurate word, because God changed his mind based on the response of people. I wonder how many times that happens today, and we brand the person a false prophet. Now, another example, final one we're going to look at, is Exodus chapter 6, verses 2 through 9. And this is where God speaks to Moses, and this is Exodus chapter 6, verses 2 through 9. And anyway, God speaks to Moses here and talks about how he's going to bring all of these people, deliver them from Egypt, and bring them all into the promised land. And he begins to describe the promised land. Now, we know that this word of the Lord did not come to pass, again, because of the response of people. In this case, it was exactly the opposite of the response of the people of Nineveh. God changed his mind in the book of Jonah and relented and didn't do what he said he would do because the people of Nineveh repented. In this case, God changed his mind and didn't do what he said he'd do because the people were stiff-necked and stubborn and rebellious and disobedient. And we find, if we go on to look at Numbers chapter 14, verses 22 through 24, we find that God says here, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. And so we find that the promise that God made back in Exodus chapter 6 was not fulfilled because the people did not respond. And so we see the conditional nature of that prophetic word. Because of the response of people, the word did not come to pass because they were disobedient. All right, let's go on now and just look at a few characteristics of false prophets and set the record straight. The first one we see is that they are presumptuous and proud in their hearts and attitudes. This is Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 20, 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 18, and verses 20, or chapter 22, verse 24. Then Jeremiah chapter 3 and Ezekiel chapter 13. A second characteristic we find of false prophets, as we study the scripture, real false prophets, is that they bear bad fruit in their lives and ministry. In other words, they are slaves to unrighteousness, and they encourage disobedience to the Lord. And you can look at Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 10, 11, and 14 there. Further, as we study the scriptures looking at who the real false prophets are, we find that the third characteristic of them is that they are consistently inaccurate. Consistently inaccurate in their prophetic words. And you can look at Jeremiah 23, verses 10 through 22, and Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 10 through 19. And then the fourth characteristic of false prophets is that they lead people away from the Lord. And then you can look at Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 2, and Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 20. And then the final thing that I just want to close with, our final consideration with this class, is that we need more than a word. Sometimes I think we put a lot of emphasis on prophecy and on personal prophecy, and it is a season and a time where God is restoring the ministry of the prophetic back to the body of Christ. But the balance in all of this is that we need to know not only God's word for us, but also his perfect will, his way, and him. And I think that's the balance in all of this as we seek to hear the voice of the Lord more clearly. It's not his voice that we really need to be seeking. It's him. We want to seek his face more than we want to seek his word. And as we seek his face, then I think there will come a clarity. There will come a transformation of our hearts that enable us to hear and respond to his voice more fully and more clearly in every way. And so let's go on now to our activations, and we'll just turn the tape off now.